There's a warrior spirit about me.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. We're in the Town Fair Tire Studios. And it's our worst than Brady contest. Everyone knows Brady's regime, his health regime. And it got us to thinking, why is this the book that people are buying? Why is his regime so great? It seems like you're denying yourself all pleasures in life.
Mm-hmm.
And for what? I mean, he gets, you know, millions of dollars, and he has this image that he has to maintain. But for people like us, what is the point?
Mm-hmm.
What is the point of living this lifestyle? So we're looking for people that live their lives completely contrary to the healthy life of Brady.
Maybe you have a warrior spirit, but in a different way. Your warrior spirit is that you're passionate about sitting down and having something very sugary and washing it down with something with a lot of alcohol and falling asleep with a bunch of chips on your chest.
Yes.
Maybe that's the way that you are a warrior.
Yeah, you're someone who can find snag items in their folds as the day goes on.
Right, you wake up, there's traces of ketchup on your skin.
Yes, you've passed out and there's a calzone on your chest. Yes, all these things.
So we are trying to find the person who is the most anti-Brady and his lifestyle, and we had a contest set up, and it started yesterday morning, and you were to submit a video and tweet it to us that shows you and how you indeed live the anti-Brady lifestyle, and we got a ton of submissions. It was great. I mean, they really stepped up. Like, around 5 o'clock last night, I think a lot of people were waiting to get home from work, we just got a ton of them. So going through them and picking our finalists is going to be something that is going to be very tough for us after the show. And we will have the finalists in studio tomorrow. They will have to go through several different health tests. I think you said one of them was going to be how long they could breathe into like a kazoo.
I want
to
know. Breath. But here's
push-ups.
The thing. Is that it's interesting because you have to give people incentive to do well on these things.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have to, contradictory to what's going on, it's ultimately up to all of us.
We're the ones who actually will decide in the end. We can tell if someone is going to be faking or not. And I think really the biggest thing is going to be the question and answer session.
Yeah.
It's just presentation.
Because
just how they show up.
We should give like a point for whoever can do the most push-ups, because otherwise, it's not. I mean, then I'll just tank it. I mean, no. Why would I do push-ups?
No, I don't think you give them points for most or not. I think we just rate the effort.
Okay.
I think you just rate him on effort. You know, like
if he's struggling to knock out that fourth push-up.
I just think it's completely subjective. It's whatever we think was best demonstrated.
All right, because if they're dogging it.
No, well, we'll know.
Yeah,
we'll know. Yeah, we'll know the strength of effort. It's completely subjective. So let's get to some of the submissions that we got yesterday. As we know, Tom Brady released a trailer for his brand new thing that he's doing. You know, what's called Tom versus Time.
Yes.
About how he is fighting against, you know, it's got Deepak Chopra's son, I think that's who it is, ended up doing the documentary, and we played that I Am a Warrior spirit. We had somebody who submitted to the contest make his own trailer for his anti-Brady lifestyle.
What are you willing to do to live your life like me? If you're going to hang with me, you need to be willing to give up your life, because I've already given up on mine. There's a warrior spirit about me. Every day, I go to work and walk up one full flight of stairs. And that is after walking all the way from the parking lot to get to the building. Red meat is a staple in my house, as is sugar and alcohol.
Bacon-wrapped meatloaf, pizza bread, and Spam are regular occurrences on the dinner table. But maybe worst of all, and what sets me apart, is that I eat nightshades all the time.
Tipping the scales at 360 pounds, I'm ready to rock Gillette Stadium. Oh, and look, who wants me in the stands? Tom f***ing Brady.
Very good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right,
that's good.
What are nightshades?
Tomatoes. Just like a gigantic pile of tomatoes.
Okay.
Just a massive pile.
It's almost a middle finger to Brady. Because you know he's not wanting to eat these tomatoes. He's just to go completely opposite of him.
I think meanwhile, this seems to be a theme rules in this. Most people are smoking while they're doing the video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's a surefire way to know that They're living the anti-lifestyle.
So there is another gentleman who said that, you know, Tom or Mr. Brady, he ends up having all these different supplements and drinks that he does. He made his own smoothie right in front of us. So sitting on a table in front of him is a giant pizza with everything on it. There is a glass of beer and a tiny little smattering of kale. So let's take a listen.
TB12? Sounds like a tuberculosis shot. What you really need is a smoothie packed with all the calories and protein, rolled into one. More than Tom Brady eats in a week. Plus, chewing is overrated. Just blend this amazing deep dish pizza with a nice brown ale. Mmm, tasty. Done. You're ready to tackle on any obstacle in your way. Drink up, my friends.
And then the dude actually drinks it. Oh. He takes half a pizza, shoves it in a blender, throws in a thing of beer, and then just sprinkles a little bit of kale on it, and then actually drinks it.
Now, does he just sip it, or is there a substantial...
He takes, like, two big chugs and then smiles. So I don't know whether he drinks... The video cuts off before he continues, but the fact he took two sips of that
is... No, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So he's gone so far as to incorporate a blender.
Yes.
Just making his own, prove his point.
Anti-Tom Brady smoothie. Now, this guy pulls off something that I've done before, and I've... unfortunately admitted on the air, and that is the old double switcheroo when it comes to the drive-thru. So in this video, he is eating something from one fast food establishment while driving up to a second fast food establishment while smoking.
Hello?
Hey, Gaga.
Can I get no peppers, please?
We're having breakfast right now, sir.
Oh, that's all right. I'll just wait. Actually, you know what? I'm going to go to the gym.
Yeah, we're waiting for... one more hour to get lunch ready.
Yeah, actually, I'm just gonna wait. Back.
All right. She's waiting.
So he's eating and he's smoking.
He's eating, yes.
And then he's shown up before breakfast. That is a... They keep extending those breakfast hours.
I used to call it the magic hour. There was down the street, there was a fast food restaurant that I would show up at 10:25. And when I'd pull up, there'd sometimes be... there was like a window of 10 minutes where you could order breakfast and lunch in the same order.
Whoa.
It was awesome.
How come they can do breakfast all day, but they can't do lunch in the morning? Good question,
Maybe the
Fred.
Demand is less. Like who really wants like a gigantic burger at 8 a.m.?
There are a lot of third shifters that would want that.
You just want an egg sandwich all day.
No, I would think the third shifter's getting off work. Why wouldn't you get a burger in
the
morning?
Who would want it? Me.
I guess there's not really much of a request for it. Because, I mean, listen...
College kids can eat anything. You kidding me? There's a market involved here.
Yeah, it seems like you're robbing Peter to pay Paul. The
excellent
breakfast.
Point. Just everything on the menu should be fair game.
Yes.
All day.
I mean, how much different could it be?
Like Dunkin' Donuts. Like, all day you can get whatever you want.
Right. How difficult could it be to, you know, line up beef patties for people? All right. So that guy's... Have all these people been smoking?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. They're all smoking.
That's like the definition of...
There's one guy who's just cramming chew in his mouth. I mean, there's a lot of people like... There's one dude, and the audio obviously doesn't do it justice. One guy says, "How do I live the anti-Brady lifestyle? Check this out." And he turns, and he's in a warehouse full of pot. It's an entire warehouse.
I want that guy here tomorrow. I want that guy here.
As a matter of fact, I heard in my head the hallelujah music. I'm like, whoa, where is this magic place?
I want him here.
Works for a dispenser.
Just meet that guy.
But I mean, it was like a greenhouse.
That's amazing. All right. Let's get a job at a dispensary.
So then there's this guy who takes us around an average day that he has.
I'm just like Brady. I got a pit bull. And she's friendly, too. Brady goes to the gym like 4 times a day. I just drive 50 feet to the gym in my complex, where I get 4 monsters 4 times a day. Got a pretty hot model wife. So do I.
You are such a loser.
He's a family man. So you know he's good at changing diapers. So am I.
His kids got crap all over. Oh, God. He goes up to his wife who's lying in bed,
yeah.
And she says, "You're a loser." It's like Brady.
So the kid has crap all over him?
Well, you can tell he's got like it's hanging out the side here.
He's just to get the hell away from everyone.
So, Jesus. All right, but then there's this guy who the minute you click on it, you're like, all right, well, he's in. For reasons you'll find out at the very end of it, this is a gentleman who I'm very much looking forward to having in studio tomorrow.
That's the worst than Brady challenge. Oh, I'm 33. I currently have high cholesterol, high blood pressure, I smoke weed every day for breakfast. I don't eat lunch or dinner. I usually eat Charleston shoes or ice cream or Twinkies for dinner. M&M's, those are good. A couple blunts a day. Don't exercise. Don't work out. Very out of shape. And lost all my teeth.
Just does he explain how?
No teeth from the left to the right. Just missing the entire top level of teeth.
Does he explain how this happened?
I guess we'll have to ask him.
Well, listen, if your teeth are falling out.
Lost all my teeth.
If your teeth are falling out.
You have a warrior spirit on me.
Yeah.
You certainly have a warrior spirit. So after the show, we're going to pick out four finalists.
We're going to pick our finalists, yeah.
They'll be here tomorrow at 8.
Lost all my teeth.
Yes, you did.
We'll be here tomorrow at 8, and we'll find out who's going to the AFC Championship game. We're going to talk to Bill Cowher coming up in a little bit, but first, here's the CBS Sports Minute with some guy who's not boomer size and brought to you by Plymouth Rock Insurance.
And lost all my teeth.
Toucher and Rich.
Wake up.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich.
Bill Cowher coming up in 15 minutes.
Yeah, Bill Cowher going to be joining us in 15 minutes. Of course, with CBS as they go into the AFC Championship game. Isaiah Thomas is a story that will not go away. It is humiliating to Isaiah Thomas, and it's because whatever Paul Pierce says is fine, he's the one who's getting his number retired. The difference between getting your number retired and just having a nice ovation for you when you come back to where you played for 2.5 years is someone winning the president of the United States and another one coming in second in a school board election. I mean, they're not really comparable. So Paul Pierce, on the night that he retires his jersey, can do whatever he wants. And this never would have been an issue if Isaiah Thomas didn't treat his return to the Garden as something tantamount to getting his jersey retired. From the very beginning, I didn't understand why they would make a big deal about Isaiah Thomas coming back. If they want to play a video, fine. I don't know why it's necessary every time someone comes back to do so. I understand with Julian, he won a cup. He's got most wins out of any coach that's ever coached the Bruins. I'm a little disappointed in the fans for standing up and cheering yesterday.
Guy went to Stanley Cup.
A little disappointed. Yeah. A little disappointed with the way that the crowd reacted. I had faith that my fellow angry, self-loathing Bruins fans would boo, but they did not.
No.
But this whole thing is just nothing. But, I mean, it was going to be a throwaway thing, but Isaiah Thomas has turned a... How long? I don't even know. How long are these things? How long are
two
these
minutes.
Tributes?
They're 2 minutes long.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
it's done during a timeout.
So for a 2-minute video, he came to the Garden and then had the audacity to call Danny Ainge and say that I want the video played on this particular date. And Danny Ainge acquiesced. I have no idea why. Maybe he feels bad about trading Isaiah Thomas, even though...
That's what Paul Pierce says.
Even though that's... anyone with a brain knows that this was... The reason this team could contend for a title this year is that trade was made.
Well, what was great, too, is that Paul Pierce did an article with Jackie McMullen, and in it they were talking about how he said that Thomas had a shot to be honored. He said, you came to Boston, whether you were playing or not, you should have had your tribute then. I just don't see how, if someone is having a jersey retirement, they're going to be running other tributes for other players. He said, Danny tried to sell me on it, but I told him he had a shot, Danny, and he punked you on it. He pretty much dictated everything. They let it happen because they felt sorry how the trade to Cleveland went down. It's guilt. That's what it is.
And probably.
So apparently KG called Paul Pierce and was like, Isaiah, who? Hell no. You're damn right. You're not sharing your night with him. So
yeah, because everyone that was on the championship team is looking around and saying, what the hell did this? Like, why is this such a big deal?
Yeah.
Like, when I came back, it kind of just happened and I had won a title.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have a guy. Can you imagine if you... You were a guy who was on the championship team, and you had a few years here in town, and you know you're going to be a Hall of Famer, and then this guy who was here for 2.5 years all of a sudden is demanding things and asking for things. He doesn't know his place.
Well, what was awesome was this is kind of there's so many different angles and things that turns this story's taken. So last night, Jalen Rose was on ESPN with Paul Pierce. You know, Paul Pierce is an analyst for ESPN. And Jalen Rose said this, sitting right next to Paul Pierce. I thought it was pretty funny.
I thought it was petty.
Ooh!
On who?
On Paul Pierce's part.
And what part?
I love Paul. This is my brother.
What part?
Because to me,
There are going to be all type of announcements that happen in the 48 minutes during that game.
Okay.
All types.
Okay.
Including celebrating Isaiah Thomas could be one of them. Does not take away from your situation like Kobe's that happened during the game because they're doing yours post-game.
Right. But throughout the game, you're going to have different memories from the time I spent there. So now you take another 2 minutes from the memory.
No, you just said that, Jay.
And put that up. And this is the thing. Like,
dude, they're going to be playing trivia videos all night for him.
I'll tell you something about your birthday. It ain't only your birthday. A lot of people's birthday.
Okay, I don't even get that part of it.
No, that's a terrible thing because at my birthday, we're not celebrating someone else's birthday. Just because other birthdays exist in the universe doesn't take away from when it's your birthday.
If you're in my house and it's my birthday, some guy who's visiting doesn't get to celebrate his birthday at the same time.
I don't even think it goes that deep. No, I just think he's saying
that example.
I just think he gave a bad example of all the people on the planet. There's other people who have birthdays.
But it was funny because Paul Pierce stewed on that for about an hour, and they went back to the studio and they brought it up again. And here was what Paul Pierce said to Jalen Rose.
I'm not agreeing with Jalen on this.
I'm about to exit the building.
Listen, you know what, Jalen, you was right. I am petty. I'm gonna be. Oh, you know what,
starter.
I'm gonna be petty 81 more times too.
Okay. Now, how about this? You don't think that
see, he didn't get
him
it.
Playing.
No, he
oh, I
he
get
didn't.
It. I
know. Yeah, I got it.
So here's the thing.
Twitter got it, I'm sure.
He's still trying to get me back.
Okay, I didn't get that joke either at first, and then I ended up finding out that when Kobe Bryant scored 81 points, Jalen Rose was the primary defender of Kobe.
Pierce missed the perfect opportunity to really get him, though. All Pierce had to say was, well, Jalen, if you had ever had your number retired at any level, maybe you might understand what it is I'm going for.
Or if you played anywhere except for Michigan or Southeastern or Southwestern High School, that there's nowhere in the NBA that's going to have a tribute for you.
If you had done something that required a banner to be hung that wasn't taken down, then maybe you would understand what's going on.
Or
here.
If you played in a place where you were newsworthy enough to get a video played of yourself.
Right.
But you know, Pierce is what are you going to come at after him like that?
Well, all I know is that this week has definitely delivered when it came to trash talking amongst people in the NBA. Because then you had the other situation that had Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal losing their mind for about 2 minutes that a police presence had to be called to break up. And that was during the Rockets and Clippers game where things got so heated on the court that apparently members of the Houston Rockets found it was members of the Clippers found back entrances into the locker room of the Rockets, and they were going to confront them and go, yo, what do you want? And then, of course, nothing ended up happening. There were two suspensions that were put out. That was for, oh, I forget. I think Gerald Green and
Ariza.
And Trevor Ariza, who's part of it. So they were the fall guys for the whole thing. But everything started that night because Austin Rivers, the son of Doc Rivers, who is his coach for the Clippers, was in plain clothes, wasn't even playing, and was talking trash on the court. Just talking trash to Chris Paul. So that's how everything started. A guy who, once again, wasn't even playing, a guy that we've heard people in the past rip on Austin Rivers as being entitled. Big Baby Glenn Davis came out. Anyone who's pretty much played there and left has something bad to say about this whole Austin Rivers-Doc Rivers relationship. So Matt Barnes yesterday, obviously someone who is not afraid to say what's on their mind.
He was insane, yes.
Yeah, he's an ex-Clipper. He was there with Austin
Rivers. Did he drive to his ex-wife's house and try and pick a fight with Derek Fisher?
He did.
Who was dating his ex-wife at the time.
Yes.
Like, crashed a party and went after him.
But Barnes is a notorious lunatic.
He's a maniac. Here's what he had to say about Austin Rivers and Doc Rivers as well.
To see him coming after Austin, not surprising. You know, Austin kind of rubbed you the wrong way, talks a lot of trash, and doesn't really back it up. I think people are probably tired of that. He's just very arrogant. You know, I know him personally, and, you know, at the beginning, it kind of took a little bit to get used to, and then as a teammate, you know, you kind of just accept him for who he is and have his back as a teammate. But, you know, hearing guys talk around the league and seeing guys that had a problem with him while I was playing with him, I could see why. You know, he carries himself like he's a 10-time All-Star, and he's not that. And, you know, that kind of arrogance rubs you the wrong way. And then Doc played a vital role in, I'd probably say, the demise of the Clippers. I think his players, we started seeing through him. You know, say one thing, do another thing. You know, do things like give his son a bunch of money, sign his son. You know, as players, that's the kind of stuff you talk about.
That is what everyone has been saying.
Of course.
Why would you do that if you're Doc Rivers?
No idea. It's not like it's some transcendent talent. I mean, it's a kid who's a borderline NBA player, and the idea that you would have him on your team is no good for either.
You'd want to keep him as far away from you as possible.
Absolutely.
I mean, the father-son dynamic, I wouldn't think would be helped by having your son play for you on an NBA team.
No, it would be horrible. I mean, at least if you're in business with your family, like, there's times where you can get away.
Right.
I mean, if you're in the NBA with, like, you know, a couple hundred other guys, and, you know, this is rarefied ground, and your father is your coach, and
you either treat him like you would your son and, you know, get everyone else pissed at you, or you would scream and yell at your son, overcompensate the other way, and get him pissed at you.
And by the way, these are professionals. You know, this sounds like something that would happen in middle school, like when you're coaching your kid.
Right. Like, there's the coach whose kid's on the team that he always gives the All-Star Award to.
Yes.
Even though he might not be that
kid. I was on a team like that. I'm still bitter. All right. Bill Cowher is going to join us. Here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Bill Cowher, you know him. He's an analyst. He's a strong chin gentleman. He is an analyst for the NFL on CBS. You can catch him Sunday in Foxborough on the NFL Today for the AFC Championship game. He works with our friend Boomer Esiason.
He once smashed through a table a couple weeks ago in honor of Bills fans.
And honorary member of Bills Mafia.
That looked legit, too. You truly smashed through that table, did you not, Bill? That wasn't a trick table or anything, right?
No, it was not a trick table. And yes, so don't want to mess with me. Don't ask me any hard questions.
You've proven yourself to be a man. Wow. Finally, Bill.
You don't want to go there, guys.
Finally, you've cemented your legacy by going through that table.
That was it. That's the only thing that was missing from my repertoire of my life.
Get the Hall of Fame jacket ready.
That's right. Well, this has been an interesting week for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't think many people predicted what ended up happening, and I know that since then Todd Haley has been fired, and there have been
his contract has not been renewed.
Well, yes, he has not been renewed, but there also have been some people with an outcry for Mike Tomlin to possibly be replaced. There's a sentiment amongst a lot of people that Mike Tomlin gets a free pass that other coaches do not. We know that the Steelers, you know, you're living proof, obviously, that you were very successful there, but they have not had many coaches over their existence. They don't change coaches just here and there willy-nilly. Do you think that Mike Tomlin gets a free pass, whereas other coaches would not in the same position with that amount of talent on his team?
No, listen, you look at the record, you look at what he's done, and listen, I've been there and lost. I've lost plenty of playoff games as well, as you guys well know, from New England. I've lost some championship games here, and it's a football town, it's a football city. There's a tremendous reaction, emotional reaction to every time that a game losses, every time a game is won. Mike's a good football coach. He built a good football team. And Jacksonville did what they had to do last week, you know, and you know, a lot of questions. Did they overlook? Were they looking ahead to New England? I don't think they weren't. I mean, you talked to the players. I was there at a practice last week, and but Jacksonville came in. They jumped on them early, got up to a 21-0 lead, and they held on and responded. And, you know, I think the one thing that people forget about, you know, I think one of the big losses for Pittsburgh was losing Ryan Shazier. He was like the quarterback. He was like the Tom Brady at our defense. I mean, he played all three downs and made all the calls. He kind of, you know, the guy that could cover any tight end in the league. He was as fast as receivers, and he was a big loss for them. I really think overall defensively that he was the guy that kind of got, you know, they lost him to kind of expose the weakness in their defense. And, you know, I think last week it should be really showed up, and it was something they couldn't overcome.
And also Tomlin has the negative that he's coaching in the same conference as Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. I mean, that's a legacy that not many people have had to go up against.
But he lost against Blake Bortles with the most talent of any team.
We're talking
in the
overall,
NFL,
though. But I'm talking overall. If you look at the legacy of Tomlin, I mean, he's up against the best. He's up against the greatest dynasty in the history of football. So, I mean, how many championships does Tomlin win? I mean, obviously, it's a whole different narrative. The Patriots aren't out there.
Yeah, well, I mean, that you know, I could say that from the time I was there. You know, and when Tom came on from 2001, and we lost in 2001, I'll cover that, was Tom and Drew came in and beat us at Pittsburgh, and thanks to a punt return for a touchdown, a blocked field goal for a touchdown, but I don't want to go into details.
it's still, obviously, you've gotten over that loss completely.
I'm over it. Why did I go down that path? But listen, let me just say something. The game of football is a body of work. You know, we can all go back to the games that we mentally lost. And Bill, you know, going to coaching against Bill when he was in Cleveland. He's a good football coach. He's got a good quarterback. And these two guys, to me, they represent two people that have got great respect for the game. They live in the now. They don't get caught up in what they've accomplished. You know, all the things that we're talking about, and they're icons, and they're the greatest of all time, the GOATs. Ask them, they're just worried about the next game. And I love that element of them because they have great respect for the game, they got respect for their opponents, and they're humble people. And I always said that. I learned that from Bill when he was in New England. He's a very humble guy. I mean, he's not caught up in it. He doesn't need to hear the accolades. And same thing with Tom. And they're both the same way. They're great competitors. And all this talk about discord with both these guys, it's nothing but fuel that just adds to the fire and for both these guys.
All right, Bill. We're talking to Bill Cowher. John Gruden has left the booth, and after a long layoff, he's come back to coaching, and your name still, to this day, gets thrown around when there's coaching vacancies. How difficult, in your estimation, is it going to be for Gruden to get back to the mentality and get back to that way he used to coach?
I don't think it'll be very hard at all. I think he's got a great passion for it. Listen, coaching is about, you have to, it's about a passion. It's about understanding what you're walking back into. John's never really left that. I mean, John, was traded from the Raiders, and which is unheard of with coaching, right? But he was let go by the Raiders in terms of a trade, was fired by Tampa Bay. And he's had a chance to kind of get back. He's out of it. He's been staying involved with the game, whether it be through his quarterback camp and the stuff he did on Monday night. And, he still has a great passion for it. He wants to reestablish himself and really as a good coach. And I have so much respect for John. I think he's great for the game. He loves the game. He respects the game. And I think he's probably a better coach now than he was from the time he left. So I don't think it'll take much. I mean, I really don't. I mean, listen, we all love the game, and we're all in different places. For me, I was in one place for 15 years. I feel really good about having walked away. Don't have any regrets whatsoever. Don't need to go back to validate anything. But everybody's different. Everybody is driven by different things. And so I don't think it's fair to sit there and judge what's right or wrong, why you're doing something. But when you have a passion for it, for whatever the reason is, you have to respect that.
Well, Gruden reportedly just got over $100 million to return to coaching. Mm. Would that kind of money bring you back to the sidelines?
No, it's not about money, but that can create a good passion, though.
did you kind of raise an eyebrow when you saw that amount and went, hey, maybe these phone calls are going to get a little more interesting to me over the next few seasons?
Oh, yeah, no. Listen, you know what? I laugh about that, but really, honestly, when you're coaching, you're not doing it for the money. You're doing it because you love it, because it becomes a lifestyle. It becomes your life. If you want to get good at it, you have to throw yourself into it and just, embrace everything that comes with it. It's a 24/7 job, and if you want to be good at it, then it becomes a way of life.
Speaking of the Raiders, what's up with Mark Davis? What's his deal?
Oh, hey, listen, I give him a lot of credit for going to get John. I mean, listen, they're trying to bring back a little bit of tradition. We all know, I think tradition is awesome, because I think they're bringing back a great fan base in the Raiders. Now, does that transition into Vegas? We'll see. I think they're trying to build some momentum to go there and create another fan base there. The hockey team's done pretty good in Vegas, so maybe the football team will as well.
All right, give me one reason that the Jaguars can beat the Patriots this weekend.
Turnovers, takeaways. I think their defense is very good. I think if they can run the football, and the big key for them is getting a lead early. If they get behind, they're not a team that can throw the football and come from behind. But if they get a lead, they're a tough team to play, because they can run the football. That keeps the passing game relevant, but only as needed. Blake Bortles gets in a position where, is it play action? Is it run? But you get behind in this game, and then you become one-dimensional, and that's not their game. So, but their defense is the real deal. And so I'm telling you, if you've got the best defense in the AFC going against the best offense in the AFC, that is a great matchup to watch.
What do you make of Blake Bortles and how he's evolved as a quarterback? Did you expect more from him?
It's hard to say. I think, you know, there's inconsistencies that are there. There's no question. The one thing I like about him, though, I got to be honest with you, is I love his mentality. He has not flinched in the face of all this criticism that he's gotten. He's almost just been very subtle and like and very calm with how he's gone about his business. And he's made some throws. He came out there last week, and I love what they did with him. I love what Doug Marrone did on the offensive side of the ball. Nathaniel Hackett, they threw on first down. You know, so they're showing confidence in him, and he's responded to that, honestly. And so it's almost like the whole team has kind of gathered around him and, like, just supported him because of all the criticism he's had. And so it's almost become, you know, I love the way he's responded to it. So, where he goes from here, we'll see. I mean, I think a lot will have to do. He played very well last week, made the throws he needed to make. But he's going to have to make some throws in this game, too, to be able to win this football game. So, hey, he's on the ride. I think when it's all said and done, he'll sit back and reflect on where they are. But he's been a big part of how they've gotten where they are right now.
Did Boomer Esiason give you that weird Christmas gift that was like all these like American flag glasses?
you got that one too, huh?
We did. It was like from, and I swear to God, because there was nothing like on it that said it was from Boomer.
It had like an illegible signature on a card. I thought it was
from like a lunatic listener.
Well, I actually spoke at the CIA. I thought it was from the CIA. But, man, this is pretty cool. The CIA sent me a really neat gift.
Yeah, I mean, it was
Boomer.
It was just, if you don't know, just out of the blue, Rich and I get this like wooden box with a rubber band around it, and you open it up, and it's just a
parade of American flags and eagles on glasses and things. We had no idea who it was from. Yeah. Admit it was weird.
I felt really important until I realized it was from Boomer.
Yeah. He used to give liquor and stuff, and now it's just these glasses.
I liked when he sent the wine.
Yeah, it was cool. Fun. We got like Jose Cuervo or something last year.
No, not Jose Cuervo.
It was the good stuff.
The blue, Johnny Walker Blue.
That's right.
All right, well, listen.
Well, you guys can get that. I got that. You guys can get that.
All right. So yeah. You did get that from his, because he's got a distribution place, so it's like not even a gift.
He's with Diageo, so he has connections.
That's right. All right, Bill Cowher, analyst on NFL on CBS. You can catch him Sunday at Foxborough on the NFL Today for the AFC Championship game. We really appreciate the time, sir.
Yes. Hey, good luck, guys. Enjoy.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you.
Look at this thing.
Rich has brought in.
It's like a kick-ass American wooden chest here.
Box, I'm surprised no one's taking it.
Rippling flag on it.
All you need to know about this...
You open it up, it's got the pledge written on the inside.
All you need to know about this gift...
Oh, jeez.
Hang on. All you need to know about this gift is that no one's taken it.
It's been sitting here in the other room.
All right, so
okay, now,
what do we got?
Okay, tell me, this is the only thing that has any kind of sign of who it may be from. And it says, God bless America, land I love. Then it says, Happy Holidays, 2017. And there is a signature that is... So, tell me, that there's no way you would know this.
No, there's no way.
There's no possible way you would know that was it.
And who would have thought, like, you would think, yeah, like Bill said, Bill Cowher said, you'd think it was from someone in the military.
No, I can't read this.
No, of course not.
Of course you can't. We got car coasters?
It could be anything. It could be, you know, someone writing this left-handed.
I don't know. He felt the need, I guess...
He's a lefty, but writing off with his offhand.
He felt the need to go all America all over your ass.
I just have a very feeling strange. That you've got, you know, a nice cold beverage you're about to put down in your car, and then you go, whoa, this gentleman loves America. I'm going to put my Fanta grape on top of it.
Well, that's for the car coaster.
It's a car coaster.
Wow.
To do what? To not sully the car?
How about that?
This man loves America so much, I am going to second guess putting my Snapple right on top of it.
Oh, all right, well... God,
my big gulp.
All right, we will return in just a moment. I love living in Jacksonville. 98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich, and this is... A video released by like the Jacksonville Chamber of Commerce, which is just old people, geriatrics, like very old people, singing about how great Jacksonville is, like feeding ducks.
You know, it's great, Fred. You know, you hear with the Amazon headquarters being jockeyed amongst, like, you know, and fought over these different cities all over the country. Boston said, we need more millennials here. We got to put more sports bars in here. The sports culture is a big thing that'll get them here. Nightlife, stay open until 2 or 3 o'clock. Jacksonville says, we're going to go the opposite direction.
Yeah, it's a good place to die.
It's a great place.
Be comfortable when you die. The weather's generally pretty nice. Plenty of ducks to feed.
We are death's waiting room.
All right, we'll talk to Phil Perry about this because he's around the team. But the report is that Tom Brady has hurt his throwing hand.
He jammed it. That's what.
Jammed it or
saying.
Cut it. That both are being bandied about.
Okay.
Either cut it or he jammed it, or he jammed it and cut it. Whatever. His right hand's messed up.
Yeah, and that is all from reporters and what they've heard. There's no video of it. There's no picture of it. Nothing anyone has seen.
Of course not, yeah.
So this is something that has to be done.
Hot take police.
Hot take police.
It's idiotic. You're a moron.
This isn't even so much of a hot take as it's just weird. Because this guy's a doctor. Or he used to be. Did they take away his license to practice?
There's a major problem. This guy used to be, if it's the guy I'm thinking of, he used to work for the San Diego Chargers.
All right.
Before they moved up to L.A. and then they fired him.
This is the pro football doc. What's his name? Dr. Chow, I think is how it's pronounced. Dr. M. Chow, I think that's who this guy is. The football doc. I hate articles that go by their nickname.
Right.
Like I click on it, it says, it's from the football doc.
Very good.
But I've seen him tweet before.
He wrote this in the San Diego paper.
So this is what he wrote in the San Diego Tribune this morning. As information trickles out regarding the hand injury Patriots quarterback Tom Brady suffered in Wednesday's practice, it appears he most likely injured a finger on his throwing hand rather than the hand itself. Likely, he jammed his hand badly enough to have an open finger dislocation. Do we know what an open finger dislocation
is? Jim Louse said he believes that it's like something penetrated the skin.
Your finger has been sliced open and your finger in the bone is out of joint.
Like, no, or even worse is that you jam your finger and that like something pops out of the skin. So like something, you jammed it bad enough that your skin can't handle it.
Mm-hmm. This is all just from what he's been reading from tweets.
There's no video of this, by the way.
There's no video or anything.
Well, it's very responsible for a doctor to diagnose someone based on beat writer reports.
Right. So he goes on. He says, and this is how he surmised this. Is that the right term, surmise? He says, likely he jammed his hand badly enough to have an open finger dislocation. It is difficult to suffer a true laceration on a handoff, especially in practice. Also, if it were just a cut, there'd be no need for an x-ray. The main possibility requiring an x-ray that could also cause a cut is an open finger dislocation. In that case, the displaced finger joint would be so far out of place that it would tear the skin from the inside out. So he's saying that it was dislocated so bad that it was actually the bone from the inside that tore the skin. It burst through his finger and
ripped
it open.
Which I'm sure happens, but again,
I've seen that. That's not pretty.
No, yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, he doesn't know. It very well could have happened. For all I know, Tom Brady's got joints popping out all over the place. I don't know.
But to write an article.
Right. Saying based on reports that I've heard, it doesn't seem like the most responsible thing in the world.
Yeah. I wouldn't think so.
No, just as a medical professional, just to even do this seems. It's bad enough when they see an injury on the field and then there's some guy that used to tweet about injuries on the field, and he'd say, it looks like this to me, and you would say, you're a doctor?
Yeah, how would you know this?
Like, isn't this against, like, everything that's in your code?
Okay, so
you're supposed to, like, sit down and talk to people and investigate it?
How did this reportedly happen? Is that a player, like, knocked into him, right?
It was a running back.
Somebody ran into him.
It was a running back. Yeah. What they originally said, it was a running back.
Could you imagine somebody running into you so hard that your finger, the bone inside of it, bent so far sideways that it shot out of the skin?
Absolutely. If I'm handing the ball off to a 220-pound running back that's running fast,
it was a little too close.
It was a little too close, and I jammed my finger. Yes.
I guess it's possible.
That it would shoot out of your skin?
It depends. Yeah, I mean, if something you catch that it happens. The wrong way, who knows? But either way, this guy...
The big thing about it is just how incredibly irresponsible
it
is for a doctor.
Yes, that's the main point we take away from this.
For a doctor to just be diagnosing people based on information.
But I'm also thinking about how realistic it would be. And you're right. I mean, that's the ridiculous part. But now that we've got that out there, like, is that even realistic?
Sure.
Well, Brady is scheduled to meet the media this afternoon.
I didn't say... Are you saying just in general, is it possible?
It's true. are not possible, but... Is it physically possible for it to happen? Sure it is.
In that situation, I'm sure it could happen.
That's a once in the odds are really long, but it can happen. But either way, Brady is scheduled to meet the media at whatever it is, 3:30 this afternoon. That would not be happening if he had that kind of injury.
Right.
I have a feeling.
Well, he could have like a glove on.
I don't know what's wrong with him.
He could be like Michael Jackson.
All I know is his hand's messed up enough that he didn't practice.
Right.
And it's his right hand, and it's not good. He might go out and throw dimes and put up 55 points. All I know is it's not an ideal scenario going into the AFC Championship game to have your quarterback who's right-handed injure his right hand. That's all. I have no idea if the bone popped out or anything else. But apparently this doctor's Johnny on the spot, and he can tell you all you need to know.
See, I hadn't seen anywhere that it was reported as cut. I know you said you had. Who reported it was cut?
I forget. I read
the
first same
thing in the Globe.
This morning.
It was in the Globe.
I think so.
All right. So it was the Herald.
The Regent for the Herald wrote that it was jammed, and then the Globe said it was a laceration.
It was McBride and Volley.
That's right. It was Jim McBride who was the one who had it.
And McBride is. Why does McBride not get more press? McBride's apparently very down with this.
Oh, yeah. There it is. Yes. Suffered a cut, but x-rays were negative.
Yeah. Brian, go ahead.
What's going on, guys? How are you?
What's up, Brian?
Man, you guys are taking the bait. You know how the Patriots are. They're trying to get in Coughlin and these guys' heads, man. Brady's hand is fine. There's nothing wrong with it.
Why would he not practice, then?
Because, obviously, the guys that need practice. The guy's the greatest of all time. How else do you sell the story?
He was limited.
So the idea is that I would sacrifice practice time in order to create a distraction.
You're talking about practice.
That's right.
Allen Iverson.
Allen Iverson. All right.